Let me say this straight up and down. I think Kyrie Irving should retire.
NBA Australia. How you going? Whoa, big day. This is NBA Australia. It's Thursday, January 14, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of a wild, it just got wilder, NBA season, while repping Australia a little bit. I've got some news on that front. That's what we do here. Jeez, did something big happen today? Oh, that's right. Dante Exum got traded. Oh, he was also part of the James Harden trade. Boy, howdy. James Harden goes to the Nets. So we've got a little bit to talk about, as you can imagine. Plenty of lelling. Lelling? That checks out. And there were some games today as well. Yes, indeed. That's right. The NBA still continues apace, including, weirdly enough, a Brooklyn game after trading like half their team. Anyway, we've got all that covered in the NBA Australia game wraps. We've got That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Sputter the Knife, Better than Lonzo Ball. We've got Yeah Nas. We've got a rash of them. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got our back take house, where we're serving up a flame grill take. I think we've got the return of Kiwi Corner and a huge set of game previews for a really fun Friday, our time, which will be really good tomorrow, even though a bunch of other games have been postponed. We'll have a pick and preview for each of those, and we'll close out with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. That is an unreal one too, I'll tell you what. All right. Lots to do. Let's talk about it. NBA Australia episode 529. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Or you better watch out for the influx of customers and cash flow if you're a strip club in the greater New York or New Jersey area, the tri-state area. Better batten down those hatches. Watch out, Delaware. Anyway, James Harden's coming to town. It's like, you know, fat bearded, well, you know, similarly bearded Santa. In fact, it's just basically Santa for strippers. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here in NBA Australia. Is that the daily whip around? So there was a massive trade that happened. That happened today. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe himself, has been traded to the Houston Rockets. As part of the package for James Harden. He's going to Brooklyn, obviously. It's been in the works. Now, this happened all overnight. We did have rumblings that it seemingly was going to be the Sixers. And our man Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Dante Exum's good mate, being sent to Houston in exchange for Harden. Harden to be paired with Embiid. But the Sixers balked at either handing over, I believe, Matisse Thybulle and Tyrese Maxey. Wouldn't part with both of them. And basically, Maxey became the sticking point. And if you watched him play so far this season, you can kind of go, well, to be honest, I'm kind of down with that. So the Rockets turn around and go, right, so everyone here fucking hates Harden, his teammates, the front office. We have to get rid of him. Brooklyn, what was your offer again? 3 firsts? How many? 4 picks? What? All right, we can flip Karras into Victor Oladipo. Oh, and you're going to send Jared Allen to Cleveland. I mean, cool.
Cleveland!
Jump on the blower and go, sick, we're getting Jared Allen, man. This is awesome. We'll send Dante down to the Rockets. What do you reckon? So, boom! This is what happens. James Harden is now a Brooklyn Net. Basically, once this all goes through, in return for Victor Oladipo going to the Rockets. Dante Exum going to the Rockets. Dante sex him up, you know what I'm saying? Watch out, Houston area strip clubs. The Seaford sensation is coming to say g'day. Rodion's Kuroks is also going to the Rockets. 3 Brooklyn first rounders in 2022, 2024, and 2026, as well as a first from Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Via Milwaukee, a 2022 unprotected one, but that's from Milwaukee. Who knows what that's going to be? Probably not great. But also on top of that, it come 4 first round swaps for Brooklyn this year. So that's, well, you know, this year's
2023 and 2027. The most valuable, obviously, being 25, 27, and probably the 26 first rounder unprotected. This is it. They're all unprotected for the Rockets as well. They've got to be laughing at the same time. Look, I've sat through this before. I was a Brooklyn Nets season ticket holder. They traded for Paul Pierce, KG. They fucking mortgaged their farm. And then they bottled it. Didn't want to bring back Paul Pierce. Traded KG 6 months after Pierce left. We got 18 months of KG, 12 months of Paul Pierce. And then the Boston Celtics walked away with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the pick that basically they... Well, the pick that they flipped into off to Philly for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And basically, I think they also got Marcus Smart out of that one. So, not ideal, bro. Not ideal. Thing is, and I'm going to get into this, Harden is not KG and Paul Pierce on their last legs. So, the Nets, in return, get James Harden and a second-round pick from the Cavs in 2024. Unreal. The Pacers get my sweet baby, Caris LeVert. Oh, Caris. Ah! Fare thee well, sweet Carrots Prince. Second rounder from Houston goes to the Pacers as well. And the Cavs,
Cleveland,
get Jared Allen, go the Fro, and Taurean the Red Bull Prince from the Nets. The big problem for Australians here is not only did they trade Dante to Houston, they had to wave Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon to get everybody in, and also to wave the newly acquired Yogi Ferrell. So, a bit of a shit one. So, fast reactions for each team. The Nets, they get Kyrie insurance for when he spazzes out and retires in 3 weeks. They also get the best player in the trade, which is obviously what you want to come out of a trade with, the best player. At the same time, it's a 31-year-old ball hog fat boy. Oh, fat man hoop. And, dunno. You're already pairing him with KD and Kyrie. Two notoriously sort of ISO-loving, ball-handling very, very good scorers. Is that exactly what you need, Nets? Dunno. We're going to find out. The Rockets, they remake their roster with Victor Oladipo on an expiring contract, which is not bad considering. They get out of the Harden deal. Tillman Fritada has no cash here, Chop. Fritada. So Victor's on an expiring, and they get a shit ton of basically picks to replace the ones they sent out in the Rusty trade, which is hilarious. You know, they've got John Wall, they've got Boogie, they've got Eric Gordon, they remake it, they get Victor, they get Exum, kick the tires on it, see how you go, good on yous. Pacers, they get out of the Victor business. He wanted out, he didn't, you know, crack the sads and be a sook like Harden was, and he eventually got his wish anyway, so I don't know, there might be a lesson in that. They get team control for a younger, better version, I'd argue, in sweet baby Carrots LeVert, who fits in perfectly, literally no matter where you put him. And look, he gets to go hang out in Indy and probably fucking tear it up. You know what? This might be the first ever Indiana Pacers jersey I buy in my life. The sweet baby one. I reckon it'd be awesome. So they replace Victor with Caris, and the Cavs, they shoehorn themselves in there to facilitate it all, score Jared Allen and Taurean the Red Bull Prince in there. And as Larry Nance Jr. said, sex land is now surrounded by trees. Yeah, not bad. So the weird part is, the Cavs had three Aussies, finished the day with one. Dele, out with a concussion still, going, fucking, what's going on, mate? Which is a bit of a shocker. Ah, can't wait to hear his Dele review next week. So the wash up out of this as well. Houston do go under the luxury tax by three and a bit mil and under the hard cap by 9.5 mil, almost 10 mil. They've also got to waive somebody. I think they had, with incoming players, already had 15 there, so they've got to get rid of somebody. The Nets, for their part, they've now got their $5.7 million tax mid-level exception, the minimum exception, and probably disabled player exception for Spencer Dinwiddie to replace go the fro Jared Allen. Can I interest you in a Thon McCourt? Pick him up off waivers. Boom. Away you go. Next to DeAndre Jordan. We're laughing. Let's go. Tricky. So the Nets are sort of stuck without a center, but boom. So there's the wash. The big risk, obviously, that Brooklyn are taking is that Harden and KD and Kyrie all have player options on the final year of their contracts, which means all three of them can actually become unrestricted free agents if they exercise those options after next season. I don't know about you, but that seems pretty important considering you've just fucking sent away literally every other goddamn pick you've got in your arsenal forever, as well as pick swaps of the ones that you don't control now. So, bit tricky. Now, people are also like, oh, this is just like the KG trade, man, and that fucked him. Yeah, but Harden's 31. He's an MVP. Pierce never, ever even fucking came close to reaching the heights of a James Harden. Scoring titles, MVP. KD is amazing. Obviously, Kyrie, we know that. KG was awesome for pretty much 2 years in Boston and then basically declined, especially after he did his knee in 09. So the Nets at that point traded for a 36-year-old and a 37-year-old going KG versus a 31-year-old sort of perennial MVP candidate who doesn't miss games and scores buckets when he's not eating buckets of KFC. This is a tricky one. The thing is, they've very clearly just gone, fuck it. Joey Tsai is our new owner. We need to make our big splash. Harden wants to come here. KD is pissed that Kyrie's just gone, fucking NBA Kanye, he's just gone walkabout, fuck it. We need to keep KD happy. KD's team, boom, away we go. Kyrie all of a sudden has gone from being pissy that he was the second option on a LeBron championship contender, and now he's the fucking third option on his own team, which is hilarious. I'm sure that'll go down great with Kyrie as well. He seems like a pretty chill guy. And the thing is, you can look at this and go, right, we've got 2 years. So you can don't really have to worry about the first 2 years of draft picks if you're Brooklyn, right? It's like we are pretty bang on about contending through to about 2022, which is when we give up the first swap this year and one of the first rounders next year. So really it then comes into 24 and 26 first rounders and 23, 25, 27 swaps. Houston, probably going to be bad post-Wall, post-Boogie, post-Victor, however they go about it. I can't imagine a really, really great looking year. I mean, they're not going to swap this year. Brooklyn will be better than Houston, so it's basically a wash, right? And the first round of 2022, cool. You should have you guys under contract. You'll probably be contending. 24, 26, 25, 27. Sure, Marx has proven that he's smart. My first initial reaction to this was, fuck, mate, how could you do the exact same thing that Billy King did? But then I thought about it. Pierce and KG were old as fuck. They seem very content to have Harden around for the extent of his contract. Same with KD, same with Kyrie, and hopefully extend them. Pay through the nose. Joey Tsai's got more money than God. So here we are. They're sort of sitting there going, we've rolled the dice, now let's win a title. And if they win one, boom, it's all worth it. Because this is pretty much what the Lakers just did with the Pelicans trade with for AD, right? They trade all their prospects, a bunch of first rounders, and away we go. And they won the title. Will Brooklyn win it this year? Who fucking knows? Probably not. The Clippers did the same thing with Paul George. It's like, we're going to be a perennial contender for a bit. If we can extend our dudes, we'll keep them around. We're laughing. The big problem is that in 2027, like, KD will basically, you know, on one Achilles at the moment, I think he'd be like 38, 39. Harden, pretty close. Kyrie's the youngest of them all and probably will retire at some point this year. So it's a pretty big, roll of the dice. Sometimes, though, fuck it. I just don't like giving up Carrots and Jarrett and all of those draft picks if I'm the Nets. Anyway, the Rockets on the flip side turned James Harden, Rusty Westbrook, and Bobby Covington into Victor Oladipo, John Wall, Christian Wood, 7 first rounders and 4 pick swaps. So, to be honest, not a bad return, but the thing is, they also gave up an absolute fuck ton in the Rusty Westbrook trade as well, so they had to restock it. So, what are they actually out in the end? And the flip side out of this is for a team that wasn't involved in it is Philly. And Mark Spears tweeted out today, hearing Ben Simmons was pretty ecstatic not to be traded from the Sixers to Houston for James Harden, believes his team is capable of bringing a title to Philly. Doc Rivers is also a huge fan of Simmons and believes the best is yet to come with the 2-time NBA All-Star. I'd also agree with that. Big Ben Simmons fan. I still think it can work. I think trading a 24-year-old Ben Simmons, a 20-year-old Tyrese Maxey, 23-year-old Matisse Thybulle for a 31-year-old fat man hoop James Harden might not be the smartest idea. I tend to think trading 24-year-olds for 31-year-olds is maybe not the best way to build out your franchise. And I'm hoping that Daryl Morey sort of saw that and went, yeah, it's not a great idea. Maybe we shouldn't do that. So good on him. Good job, Philly. Now, the big question out of all of this as well is where the fuck is Kyrie? So Mike Breen on the ESPN broadcast today on the early game between the Nets and the Knicks, which was hilarious. The Nets were playing. The Nets told us today that Kyrie will be back and is excited to be back with his teammates, but there's no timetable right now on when he will return. Awesome. So basically they're saying, yeah, look, he will be back, sure. We don't know when, but he will be. We hope. So best of luck to him. Right, so that was a pretty big trade. People are talking about like it was the holiest of halls of halls, halls, halls. It's a lot of first round picks. But I think if nothing else, we've actually just seen the Nets dig themselves out of a hole. It pretty much took them 3 years. I was a season ticket holder for, I think, all of those 3 years. And it sucked at the time. It absolutely fucking sucked. You're out there going, Justin Hamilton, unbloody real. Spencer Dinwiddie, let's roll. And then they get D'Lo. And they start building. Sean Marks is smart. He's digging, and gets Joe Harris for nothing. So if it all does implode, you know, that's a worry for future Sean Marks. And you do have time to then build up assets in the meantime. You got to try to build a bit more, you know, depth this year as well. But at the same time, look, I think we're overvaluing the absolute fuck out of some of these first rounders. You do see in the lead up to drafts, we saw it this year, Boston are like, oh, we've got 3 first rounders. What can we get for them? And everyone's like, fucking nothing, you dickheads. No, you can't. We don't want your 3 first rounders to trade up. We don't want to trade back with you, Boston. Fuck off. So I don't know, like if you're giving up pick number 18 because Houston finished above you, below you, whatever, who knows? Those pick swaps are tough, but giving up unprotected. Like, are Houston going to say no? If you go 2027, we're going to protect it 1 through 6, let's just say. Do Houston go, all right, then fuckers, fuck off, dickheads, we're not going to do this one, we'll trade with Philly. I don't know. Raphael Stone, he's got fucking stones of stone, I'll tell you that much. COVID struck once more again today. Got Zion out of the game. And it turns out the NBA announced in the last week 16 players have tested positive out of 497 tests, which is pretty crazy. 3 more games got postponed. That's 9 games so far this season. Atlanta Phoenix today. Wiz Detroit and Golden State Suns also getting postponed. Phoenix because they played the Wiz basically out of it. And so obviously any game that has the Suns or the Wiz or Phoenix, boom, postponed. Meanwhile, Philly have to play every game. Tough. Right, we'll do more Harden stuff in a little bit. Let's get through the game wraps for today.
Game wraps.
Let's do it. Dallas beat Charlotte. The Extreme Zingameal. He's back.
The Extreme Zingameal.
Was he supercharged, Zimmy?
Supercharged Zingerburger.
Supercharged Zimmy. No, he wasn't supercharged, but he was pretty good. Josh Green crushed it in this one as well. Greeny Green. Be nice if he popped off. Now that Thon's dropped off the radar and Dante's down in Houston. Beautiful uniform matchup, BT Dubs. The white and gold Dallas City editions were very nice, and the Charlotte pinstripes are always great, so that was good. But Hardaway got going early for Dallas, gave the Mavs a bit of a lead. They never really surrendered it. Kept their heads, I don't know, 10 points up pretty much the entire run. Even a little shorthanded. It's like they get the zinger back, and you got to feel pretty good because...
The extreme zinger meal.
It's the extreme zinger meal, you know? Willie Cauley-Stein fills in admirably as the zingers there. Luka and Hardaway are out there crushing it. So good stuff. Good win for Dallas because it is, look, Charlotte are that sort of dangerous smoky where if you're not on your game, they can come out and kick your ass. But the thing is, they shot like shit today. Gordy left the game in the third quarter with a left hip strain because apparently he's made out of fucking paper mache, just like Dante. Classic Gordy. Make America Gordon again. Well, make Gordon fucking healthy again. 16 points and 15 shots for him. PJ Hamilton, Washington, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He's coming along very nicely this year, just on the by and by. Terry Rozier had 18 points on 18 shots. Not bad for a point guard for 0 assists. Thanks for coming, Terry. Scary Terry. Scared of passing the fucking ball. Devontae Graham, 5 of 14 for his 12 points. Miles Bridges shot 2 of 9. LaMelo shot 2 of 8. And Caleb Martin went 0 of 5 from 3. That'll fucking lose you the game. The Mavs, meanwhile, Luka Doncic, 34 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 blocks, a career high. He was unreal. We'll talk about him again in a second. 18 for Hardaway the Lesser. Big Willie Cauley-Stein style. 4 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks. It's the kind of game where you're like, oh, Willie Cauley-Stein's good at basketball. Sometimes, I guess. But the extreme Zinger Meal is not quite supercharged yet.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
But in 21 minutes, he had 16 points. It came on 6 of 16 shooting, but he did go 4 of 9 from downtown. So welcome back, the extreme Zinger Meal. Happy about it. Dallas, 6-4. Charlotte dropped to 6-6. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Shit pump Detroit, 110-101. Destroying people who bet on them. I think the line was minus 10.5. There was a meaningless 3 right at the end that meant this was 110-101. They're up 14 really early, Milwaukee, and it was never close. The Pistons, Jeremy Grant had 22 points, taking 19 shots. I hope it's awesome for you, Jeremy. Blake Griffin, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 of 9 shooting. Look, hopefully he's just slowly warming into the season. He just doesn't look great, though. It's worrisome. Shvi at 18 off the bench, and Sadiq Bey, the rookie, had 10 points. Isaiah Stewart, the other rookie, 9-7 as well for Detroit. They've got to be pissed that they don't have Thon. They might have to sign him off the waivers just to add to their collection of fucking centers to go with Jahlil Okafor and co. The Bucks, 22-10-10 for Giannis, his second triple-dub of the year. Easy to like this one. 21 for Jrue Holiday. Midi had 12-6. Didn't matter. Bryn, your mum's best mate. Forbes, 13. Bobby fighting. Bobby Portis fighting. Round the word. Didn't punch on with anyone. And 11-5. Detroit, now 2-9. My bet at the start of the year of over-under of 23.5 wins for Detroit is looking pretty fucking tasty. Milwaukee, 8-4. Brooklyn Clan, 116, beat the Knicks, 109 in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are reeling. Weird time to be a Knick. Could you just imagine this one, like Kyrie, just basketball fucking Kanye, just going goddamn walkabout. Half your team's just being traded. DeAndre Jordan's like the only center on your roster, and they had 7 players in double figures today. Luckily, they were playing against the Knicks. Steve Nash coaching against his godson was pretty cool. RJ Barrett. Nice little moment after the game. But still, the Nets had him in this game. Massive second quarter. Knicks came out of nowhere to threaten them late, which was, in fact, a little bit too late. But it was kind of fun that they kind of made a little bit of a game at the end. Randle had his second 30-point game of the year. 30 points for Julius. 5 assists as well. Shot 13-25. Not bloody bad. RJ Barrett started 0-5 and then went 7-10 the rest of the way. He ends up with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Not bloody bad. The other Mitch Robinson chucked in a 10-12. And Noxie has been shooting the lights out. 13 points, 5 or 6 from the floor for him. And the rookie quickly at 19. We'll talk about him later. KD for the Nets at 26. He was unstoppable at times. He came out of the game and then asked back in once the Knicks made their little baby run at the end. Shot 10 of 18. He was awesome. Harrison, Bruce Brown at 15s. El Jefe Green at 11 points. Timothy Lualu, Gabo Rowe, don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and lakes that you're used to. 13 points for him. Sham Wow as well. And Reggie Perry. 5-7 for his 11 points. Love it. 5-7 for Reggie Perry. Good job for the Rook. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City are now 5-7. Remember when they were 5-3 and everyone's like, man, the Knicks are fucking good, man. The Nets, 7-6. Memphis beat Minnesota in absolute fucking toweling as Minnesota shit the bed in absolutely royal fashion. Yeah, I'm talking about like Prince Philip style. Oh, jeez, I seem to have done it again, Marjorie. Minnesota shit the bed in the fourth quarter, up 12, 92-80. I believe they then gave up a 26-7 run to Memphis on the road. You're at home. You're at home, Minnesota. What I don't like about this is pretty much everything. Jarrett Culver's out there smiling. Cat's out there smiling. D'Lo barely looks like he gives a fuck. Fellas, you're shitting the bed at home. You're 3-7. You're getting killed by a team without their two best players. Have some fucking pride. The thing is, there were 3 trips up the floor in the fourth quarter where a teammate hit the ground. No one went to help and pick them up. This was fucked. Memphis had 80 points in the paint. That is a team that is not fucking trying, Minnesota. You guys are fucking shit, and you should be very, very ashamed of yourselves. Cat had 25, 14, and 3, but still got outplayed by my name is Jonas Valanciunas. 28 for Malik Beasley, shot 11-23. Good on him. D'Angelo had 25 points. Actually shot pretty well for D'Angelo. 10-21 from the floor. 2 of 8 from 3. Classic D'Lo. 8 assists, 5 turnovers. How's that assist-to-turnover ratio going, D'Lo? No one else was in double figures. One shot, there's only one. Hernan Gomez, 1 of 6 from 3. Ends up with 5 points. Ruby, oh, 6 points, 6 assists. Shot 1 of 5. Culver only played for 10 minutes. Anthony E.R. Edwards might need fucking resuscitation at this point. 17 minutes for his 2 points. 1 of 6 shooting. 0 of 2 from 3. Look lost out there at times. The Wolves. There's no one holding to account. They're playing like shit and they fucking suck. The Grizzlies. My name is Jonas. Meanwhile, just beasted them. 24 and 16 with 2 blocks. 19 for Brandon Bang Bang Clark. That's my new nickname for him. Brandon Bang Bang Clark. He was just dunking on everybody. Cat. Grow a fucking pair. 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Dylan Brooks. This is the first game the Grizzlies have won without Brooks scoring over 20 points. He shot 4 of 15 for 9 points and they won. Grayson Allen. Grayson! 20 points off the bench. 6 of 10 shooting. You got beaten by Grayson Allen Wolves. Just fold the franchise. Move you to Seattle. DeAnthony Melton chucked in 15 as well. Big win for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's their 6th straight win over the Wolves. They're 5-6. Minnesota dropped to 3-8. Predicted it before the season. They were going to be shit. Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong. Lakers killed OKC 128-99. All around shit pumping again. Even on a back-to-back for both teams. Lakers just too much talent. Shai managed 17 points on 5 of 12 shooting. Only 1 assist. Poku! Pokushevsky! 4 of 9 for 10 points. Isaiah Roby had 11. Nothing else going for the Thunders. Lakers, the Lakers. LeBron had almost a LeBron, 26-6-7. Should be the 27-7-7, isn't that the LeBron? Cruise control and kick their asses. He shot 5-8 from downtown. He's on fire from 3 of late. 18 and 7 for AD. Speaking of cruise control, Montrez at 21-6. And German Rondo and Dennis Schroeder chucked in 14-5-5 as well. Lakers cruise to the win. They're 10-3. Best record in the NBA. OKC, 5-6. New Orleans by the Clippers in an absolutely weird fucking game. This was weird. Nikki Alexander walkover. Loved it. No Zion for the Pals. Tough ask when the Clips are on fire as well. PG at 18 in the first half. Hit 4 threes, including a buzzer beater at the half. You're like, oh shit, this might be over. Spindles was 2 of 11 at that point. But look, Nikki Alexander Walker just got moving. He had 15 points in the third quarter. Kept them close. And then he just kept on going. The Clips just had enough in the end, though. Like, PG just sort of, you know, popped up again in the fourth. Kawhi. he just went into Terminator mode a couple of times. Went, oh, I guess I'll score all the points. Okay, if you reckon I should. And they get the win. Unfortunately, I wanted to see a bit of Will the Thrill Magne. That didn't happen. Didn't get out there again. But look, 22 points in the end for Spindles. Goes 8 of 19 overall in the end. 12 for Stephen Adams Brew. 37 for Nikki Alexander Walker, though. What a game. You might suspect he'll pop up again. 37 points, 8 rebounds. Absolutely unreal. JJ Redick was a bit of a question mark to go in this one. Ends up with 12 points, 4 of 11 shooting. But just not enough for the Pals. And with Spindles struggling in the first half, just nothing else really going. He needs to hit a couple of threes, get them moving, and it just did not happen. And without Zion there, they just don't quite have the weapons. Even when Nikki goes off at 37, not quite good enough. The Clips, meanwhile, look, 27 for Paul George in the end with 5 threes made, 28 points, 9 assists for Kawhi. Yay! And that's exactly what happened. Zoobs, Mook, Kennard, the Duckman, look, they were fine. And that's exactly what happens, you know. I think Mook Morris went 2 of 4 from downtown. Luke Kennard went 2 of 3. That sort of just kept them floating along. Bev was fine. Ibaka was good defensively. He had 12 points. And Batum was fine too. So they sort of just cruised along, kept it going. And New Orleans gave him a bit of a run at the end, but the Clippers just had enough. Good job, Clips. Good win from a smoky. The Pelicans are a bit of a smoky. They're 4-6, the Pels. LA, 8-4. And then the final game, Portland win 132 over the Sacramento Kings, 126. An absolute barnstormer, this one. As you can tell from a 132-126 scoreline. De'Aaron Fox had 15 in the first quarter. Kings are up 20 at one point with 7 minutes to go in the second. Dame and CJ go, fuck, all right, we better just start shooting threes. Gary Trent, Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr. did some damage. Derek Jones Jr. copped a pass from fucking half court just before the end of the half from Dame. Oh, looking good. They got right back and only down 3 at the half. And then they fought all the way. Sacramento had all these little runs where it's like, no, 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 we're going to win. And then Portland just pegged it back, kept ahead. Dame, eventually in the fourth quarter, Dame just goes, right, 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 we're done fucking around. Hits the game sealer, up 2, 28 seconds left, hits this driving layup, gets 40, got game. Dame said, Sears. Kings went, oh, but we were doing so well. So Diaz up, ends up with 29 points, De'Aaron Fox. He is fucking balling out at the moment. I'm enjoying the shit out of it. Love some De'Aaron Fox. 5 of 8 from deep. Buddy Hield hit 8 threes for his 26 points. Rashawn Holmes, 17, 9, and 6. And the other standout rookie so far this season, Tyrese Halliburton. Unbelievable. 17 points, 9 assists, 7 to 10 shooting, 3 of 4 from downtown. Just looks unreal. The Blazers, Dame had 40. CJ had 28 and 10 assists with 8 rebounds. Dame also chucked in 13 assists. CJ is shooting a shit ton more threes, and god damn, he looks good out there. I think he had 16 threes today out of his 23 field goal attempts. He's taking over 11 threes a game and shooting them at a higher rate than he ever has done before. So CJ has completely transformed his game. Good on him. Keep it up, mate. 16 for Gary, Terrence Trent, Darby Jr. as well. 4 of 5 from deep, and 18 and 13 from Jusuf Nurkic. Hello, it's Bosnian Beer. And the Blazers get a very handy win. They've won 4 straight. They're 6 and 4. Sacramento, I believe, are now 5 and 6. Yeah, nailed it. All right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Luke Doncic, 34, 13 and 9, 4 blocks, a career high, shot 14 of 25 in this one, 5 of 9 from deep. Look, when Luke is hitting threes, you're fucked. Like, that's it, you're just fucked. Like, if he's nailing them, it's just, the way he does it and when he hits them as well, it tends to be when it's like, oh, we're up 5. The other team's made a little bit of a run. Bam, here's a 3 for you. And it's like, fuck, now we're down 8. Jesus, or now we're suddenly, we were down 8, now we're down 11. Ugh. It's like the correlation between Luka made threes and timeouts called by the other team must be fucking sky high. There's some maths for me. Durant versus the Knicks as well gets on here. He has 26 points, absolutely crushed it. That's 25 plus points in all 8 of his games so far this year, tying him with Bernard King for the longest streak in Nets history. Not bloody bad, Slim Reaper. But come on, man, we're going to give it to Dame. He was absolutely incredible, and to hit that game-sealing shot right at the end, 40 points, 13 assists, 3 steals, shoots 11 of 23, 6 of 15 from downtown, but incredibly, has 0 turnovers. 0 on 13 assists, so Dame apparently is officially the first player ever to have 40 points, 13-plus assists, and 0 turnovers. Not bloody bad, Damian Lillard. Not bloody bad at all. You could almost send that straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
Love it. Let's do Spud of the Night.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Dallon Wright. Now, here's a bloke that everyone's like, oh, watch out, here we go. He's going to be the breakout candidate for this year. Unfortunately, the only thing he's breaking is fucking backboards. 1 of 10 today for Detroit. Mate, 1 of 3 from downtown. Ends up with like 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal and a block. But 3 points on 1 of 10 shooting. Just absolutely fucking atrocious. Ugh. Ricky Tiki Tata, Ricky Rubio as well. As mentioned, 1 of 5 shooting, 6.6 assists, 3 turnovers. Didn't like that one either. And really, to be honest, Spud of the Night might just go to all of the Timberwolves. Have some fucking pride in yourselves, you idiots. What about Old Mate No Mates, though?
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, this is an easy one, isn't it? James Harden. When you've got DeMarcus Boogie Cousins sounding and looking like the sage, wise, smart guy in the room, something's gone horribly wrong. But here we are. Harden pissed off everybody in that goddamn Houston locker room to the point where he's so old mate, no mates, the Boogie looked like the fucking hero here. He's been there for 20 minutes and he's like, this guy fucking sucks. What have you been doing? How have you put up with this fuckhead? I'm gonna bash him. So he starts off. The disrespect started way before any interview. Just his approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. The disrespect started way before. This isn't something that all of a sudden happened last night. Other than the other 14 guys in the locker room have done nothing to him. For us to be on the receiving end of disrespectful comments and antics, it's unfair to the rest of the guys in the locker room. Whoa! It's fucking 100% true as well. Well said, Boogie. James Harden, you absolute fuckknuckle. Way to burn your fucking bridges, look like a fucking dickhead, and then bounce to Brooklyn after you've gone, geez, this place is a bit of a schmozzle, isn't it? Yeah, because you did it, you fuckhead. Anyway, talk about old mate, no mates. When you've got Boogie going, fuck mate, me and everybody else here hate him. It's pretty great. Pantsing of the night, probably the Knicks on national TV. Look, shorthanded Nets roster on a back-to-back with half of their players just being traded. And they got fucking straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
The best part is, I mean, speaking of pantsing, as Austin Rivers said, I've been on bad teams. This is not one. They're now 0-4 since he said that. Yeah, Knicks, gonna Knicks, aren't they? Yeah, I'll tell you what. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as everybody basically doesn't have me playing today because Lonzo was out not playing. And to be honest, maybe should be replaced. This could be like a really sneaky because should Nicky Alexander Walker be playing over the top of Lonzo Ball? Yeah, nah, fucking as of today, maybe, bro. Maybe. Lonzo does have a bit of a knee injury, which is why he was out for today. But still, he's got bilateral knee tendinopathy. There we go. I'm a doctor. Thing is, his teammate, his backup, Nicky Alexander Walker, dropped a 37-point career high. Career lifetime high, seemingly. He never hit this many points in college or in the NBA. 8 rebounds, shoots 15 to 23 from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3. He was on fire in that second half, and it was awesome. I love some Nicky Alexander Walker. Not just because he's, like, you know, related to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but still, here we are. He's unreal. Emmanuel Quickley gets an honorable mention, 19 points for the Knicks. 3 assists and a steal, shot 7 of 15, 3 of 6 from downtown. He's just awesome fun. And Knicks fans are going to fucking just talk themselves into him basically being like the 4th best point guard in the NBA. But Nicky, 37 points, career high. You are easily the winner of Better Than Lonzo Ball today, considering that he's not scored 37 points playing above you. And you came in and scored 37 points. Way to go. Right, let's do some yeah nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, yeah, Nas. They are brought to you by the DailyLiquor.com from East Nines Brewing. Mate, summer in Melbourne. Still a bit of COVID floating around. Don't go to the bottle-o like an idiot. Go to the DailyLiquor.com. Check out all their booze specials. Their slab packs are incredible. They've got the wines. They've got the cocktails. The wines are awesome. Old mates jump back in on the wines. Got a bunch of them. She fucking loves them. They're great. So, something for everybody, basically. And with a whole rash of NBA going on right now, what better time to celebrate than banging in the code STRAYA and getting a free six-pack of the delicious DOS XPA, the DOS X, the Red Devils, a six-pack of that for free coming your way if you use the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. Basically, you're telling them that your mate Jimmy sent you, and they'll give you free beers for it. How good is that? So, buy a sixer, get a free sixer, while you're watching the Sixers. And go, come on, Simo. Put up more than 6 points. Right, let's do some yeah nahs. Oh, remember, it's the Melbourne metro area. Same day delivery before noon. Got to be over 18, obviously. Yeah, Naz, we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yam or nah. Number one, this is pretty easy. Scotty Baxter messaged yesterday going, yeah, nah, Jimmy, is Harden going nuclear in his approach to being traded? Turns out, yeah, nah, fucking yes, he will. Yes, he did. He went completely nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear. The way he did it, of just going, yeah, this place is fucked, eh? Is just hilarious, considering that he caused it. But it was the nuclear option of going, yeah, man, this is fucked. Yeah, I don't know how you fix this one. We'll have to get a new one, eh? And it pretty much left Houston going, well, we can't play him now, so we better trade him, like, right now. That's exactly what happened. Scotty Baxter then asked, yo, will Kyrie Irving's personal reasons now be resolved? Now, this is the big question, isn't it? Yeah, nah. Probably nah. But it does give him a little bit of scope where he's not going to be the scapegoat for every sort of piece of ire directed the Nets' way for at least a couple of days. Like, it just becomes a question of like, oh, man, remember, like, Kyrie's still not back, is he? That's a bit weird. Whereas up until right now, before they traded for Harden, it's like fucking Durant's out there by himself coming back from Achilles. He's been abandoned by his mate Kyrie, old fucking NBA Kanye. And everyone's like, well, fuck you, Kyrie. Now they get to go, oh, that's right, they've got Harden. This is fun. Oh, yeah, cool. Wonder how it's going to be awesome when Kyrie comes back. When Kyrie does come back, that's going to be the big question. So was this part of the ploy to force the trade, asked Scotty. Yeah, nah. This is some galaxy brain shit from Kyrie, if it was. So I want to say, yeah, nah. Nah, I just think Kyrie's a fuckwit. You know? I think he's just kind of like, man, you know, look, hey, I don't like the, like, there's stuff going on and we're just playing, like, it's just a game, man. All right, cool. Then don't cash your checks if it's just a game. You're not doing your job. I don't know why you should continue to be paid. If everybody else just went, ah, I don't really feel like coming in today, would they get paid? How much sick leave do you have? How many personal days do you get? Blow it out your ass, Kyrie, you fuckwit. And this is the thing. This is what very clearly gets me heated. As I said on yesterday's show, if this is a case of mental health and you're having a bit of a moment, that's fine. Tell your fucking boss, tell your teammates. Don't leave them fucking hanging where they're going, well, I don't know, man. Like, he's just fucking, dude just went walkabout, bro. Like, I don't know. What the fuck? He just fucking took off. We haven't heard shit since. And if you're going to go, look, hey, fellas, I could use some help. NBA, I could use some help. Nets, I could use some help. Cool. And we're happy to help. But this fucking radio silence, you then popping up at your fucking sister's birthday and then just basically leaving the rest of your team to hang out to dry? Go fuck yourself. What a horrible fucking teammate you must be. And the best part is, we're now adding Harden to that. Love it. Dan Drosher asked, yeah, nah, Jimmy, Indy won the trade. To be honest, yeah, nah, I love Indy. Getting rid of Victor Oladipo for baby. Look, Victor's upside that we have seen is probably higher than Sweet Baby Carrots LeVert's. Sweet Baby, though, still is a lot younger and kind of just fits into this team chemistry vibe that I feel like Indy have. Like, it's pretty clear this is the Souvlaki Kings team now. You've got El Presidente around him. You've got Bubble MJ when he comes back, hopefully at some point. You've got Miles Turner. You've got Sweet Baby Carrots, El Presidente. I mean, it's a solid fucking team. And Wigdor kind of just, the ups and downs might have been a bit tough. So I kind of like it a lot. But to be honest, yeah, nah, because for Houston to get out of the Harden business, I mean, the tough part is they probably don't win the trade because they gave up the superstar. But getting Victor Oladipo and a fuck ton of picks back is probably one of the best scenarios you could have imagined. The tricky part is, would the Sixers package of Simmons and just Matisse Thybulle have been enough to be better than what they got and whatever picks Philly would have given up? Yeah, nah, probably yeah, because Simmons would have been the best player to get back, because I'd say and I'd argue that Simmons is probably a better player than Victor Oladipo. Oladipo, though, can, if he's getting healthier and healthier and healthier, could prove to be a pretty fun fucking replacement to go next to Wall, to go with Boogie. So it's one of those trades where you're like, I feel like everyone sort of came out fine. Brooklyn get the best player. They also lose a shit ton of draft picks. That's the price you pay. You don't get Harden for cheap. You don't get him for free. You know? Indy just sort of insert themselves in there, get out of the Victor business, get Sweet Baby back. And the Cavs get Jared Allen for basically giving up on Dante Exum, which sucks. But Houston also get Victor, Dante, a shit ton of picks. The problem is they're sort of just making up ground in the picks department because they gave up all their other picks in the Rusty Westbrook trade. So a bit tricky. So I kind of want to call it a win-win. Indy just sort of slipping out under Victor, getting Sweet Baby feels pretty good. Brooklyn getting Harden feels pretty good for them, I guess. You get the best player, the dude who wanted to come. Perennial MVP candidate. I don't know, man. Dan also then asked, yeah, nah, Brooklyn now has the three best nicknames on one team. Yeah, nah. To be honest, Fat Man Hoop, NBA Kanye and the Slim Reaper, the Durantula. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I feel like I like saying Toronto's nicknames a lot. But this is great. NBA Kanye, Fat Man Hoop, and the Slim Reaper all on one team. I did enjoy the fact that it was the Twitter, the tweet out there was like, the Nets now have all three types of Brooklyn dude. The fat guy with a beard, the skinny weird dude, and then the guy who's really into astrology and fucking weird shit. That's exactly right. Now, should the Nets sign Thon McCur? Yeah, nah, fuck yes. They're playing DeAndre Jordan out there at center at the moment, as I tweeted out. If nothing else, signing Thon, you could run him out there as a KD decoy. It's like they'd be like, all right, you take the skinny tall guy. It's like, fuck, oh no, which one? Suddenly, splash. Love it. Will Dante Exum thrive in Houston, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Nah, I mean, you can't thrive if you're not on the court. It's harsh, but that's how it is. If you're not healthy, how can you thrive? Dante, prove me wrong. Otherwise, maybe, yeah, like behind slash next to John Wall, Victor Oladipo, it could be ideal. Like, he doesn't have to be the main ball handler. He can sort of fill in when needed, can play obviously amazing D, could be good. It's going to stay healthy for more than fucking 8 games at a stretch, Dante. I love you. But still, come on, Kangaroo Kobe. The big question. The big, big, big question. Will this work for the Brooklyn Nets? Yeah, nah. Depends on what you want work to mean, doesn't it? Because will they score lots? Yeah, nah. Yeah. Will they have nice offensive flow? Yeah, nah, probably nah, at least not to start with. And you better hope that they do, because this is one of my big problems with this. When it comes to offensive firepower in the NBA, obviously, Kyrie, KD, and Harden, they're three of the single most gifted scorers we've ever seen in the NBA. But if everyone on the floor isn't working to get everyone else easy buckets, to get the team going, ISO can bog you down. And if one guy goes cold, sure, you've got another two insane dudes to bail you out. But what happens if they're slightly off as well? Like, who's going to do the work to fix it, to get easy points, to just keep cutting, to keep moving off the ball? What we've seen from Harden, where, especially with Chris Paul, even with Rusty, it's like, all right, I've given up the ball, now I'm just going to stand over here. And you can watch defenses just go, well, fuck that. We don't need to cover him anymore. He's not working. He's not doing shit. He's not helping his teammates on the offensive end. He can pass the ball off, get into a position, he drive, kick, boom. That's an assist. But at the same time, the lack of offensive help that he's giving when he sort of doesn't cut, doesn't work hard, it sucks. It really sucks. It also, like, we've seen Harden disappear in playoffs before. So if you want to say, look, who's going to do the work to fix it? Who's going to get you easy points? Oh, Harden will just drive and get fouled some more. Well, how many times has that worked great before in the playoffs when it's just fucking, he's come up empty time and time again? This time, however, he could feasibly be kicking out to KD or Kyrie. And if those dudes are driving, they could be kicking out to James Harden. Is Harden going to be working hard enough, though, to get into positions where they'll be kicking out to him and he's like, all right, let's fucking eat. And not just fucking giant buckets of KFC across the road there in Brooklyn. I don't know. So you better hope that they figure out a nice offensive flow, a way of scoring all the time, because the big problem is, will they ever be fucking able to stop anybody? Yeah, nah, you've just lost Carrots. You've just lost Taurean the Red Bull Prince. You've lost Jarrett Go the Fro Allen. You're replacing with old ass DeAndre Jordan. Oh, he's only 32. Yeah, it's 32 fucking dog years when it comes to DJ. Jesus. So, you better hope that you've got another couple of cards to play at some point to sort of strengthen the D. Because I don't, like, everyone's like, oh, well, you can just play Durant at the five in a pinch. Yeah, in a pinch. There's still fucking 60 games to go in the season. So it's a bit of a fucking pinch, mate. Like, how do we trade for PJ Tucker? But the thing is, it just, this is where it leads into the next part. Is this the best big three we've ever seen? Yeah, nah, nah. KD, Clay, Steph was better. LeBron, Wade, Bosh was better. I'd argue that KG, Truth, and Ray were better because those threes fit better. Their roles fit better. Their games fit better. This is an explosive scoring big three. We know that. Is it even, though, still the most high-scoring ceiling big three? Yeah, nah, probably nah. Steph's better than Kyrie in a big three, I think. Harden is probably more consistently better from different arrays of the game than Clay. But we did see Clay score 60 with 17 dribbles. And this KD might be less than the other old KD. So I kind of feel like I want to give it to the old Golden State Warriors for having the highest scoring ceiling, because that fucking team sang. It sang. Also, they played defense. Steph's never been that great, but Jesus, better than Kyrie, better than Harden. The big question then very much easily leads to, will they win the title? Yeah, nah. And popular opinion of the daytime.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
I don't even think this makes the Nets favourites to come out of the East. So nah. Look, I think they'll be good, because you can't have this much talent on the offensive end and suck. But on D, I worry about Milwaukee, let alone Miami and Boston just fucking beating them. Even Indy. With the Souvlaki King and Miles Turner and a pissed off baby Carrots, I'd worry about that. The thing is, they will be fun. Because we've already seen it. KD and Kyrie were awesome in the couple of games they played together before Kyrie fucking flipped the lid and fucked off without telling anybody. Which, I don't know, might be a problem. Either way, we've gone back to 2012, where Redux, the OKC Thunder, before they fucking traded Harden for peanuts. Now all we need to do is trade Kyrie for Rusty and get the gang back together. Either way, the fact that they skyrocketed to the top of the favoritism in the East, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. Like, color me unconvinced, basically, out of all this. You know, we can stagger minutes, so it's not about the, oh, there's only one ball, man. Yeah, it's more about how their games fit as well, man. Like, Kyrie and KD, there was just enough role players around them to make it sort of work, make it sing at times, and even then we saw them struggle at times too. Now you've got another one. Should be right, but Jesus, I wouldn't be penciling in the title right there, right now. What about Outback Takehouse, though? It's Thursday at Outback, you know what that means? Oh yes, 2-for-1 Bloomin' Onions. Oh, that's right, even though no one in Australia knows what the fuck this thing is, all it is a deep fried fucking onion. You fat bastard Yanks. That's right, you fucking love this. We only fucking chuck onions on the barbie and fucking fry them up until they're black as a dog's guts. You want everything fucking deep fried, you fat bastard, so have two of these. Get it right up, ya. It's a fucking blooming onion at Outback Takehouse. And it goes great with a flame grilled take. James Harden knew he was about to be traded. That's why he was such a fucking dickhead last week. It's talking trash when you're at a job when you've already got another one lined up and don't need the reference. Only at Outback. I mean, this is, you know, him forcing the trade, isn't it? So he knew he was about to be gone. He's like, yeah, fuck all yous. I'm out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out there, James. Right, let's take a quick break. Be back with Australian Player Watch right after. Let's say this one.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, You hear me yell about Noble every day. They're the best. Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, Alexis Ohanian. What have they all got in common? They're all super smart. They've got lots of incredible experience as well. And now they've created audio courses to teach you what they've learned. They're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. They're like a little podcast or an audio book, 100% ad-free, and you get smart. It's like Spotify for learning shit. I love them. So Scott Kelly, he's the commander from NASA. He's unreal, teaching stuff about space. Chris Paul, obviously, point God, talking about performance benefits and plant-based lifestyles is pretty fun. Alexis Ohanian teaches about, you know, launching startups, considering, you know, co-founder of Reddit. It's pretty important. And over 100 other experts are waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new shit today, download the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi, knowable.fyi. Download the app, use the code STRAYA and get 20% off. Cheap as chips, you'll absolutely love it and you'll get smarter. All right, Australian Player Watch, quick one today. Quick. Big Simo did not get traded, nor did Matty T. So they're still in the Sixers. Pretty good. Dante Exum, now on the Rockets. Kung Fu Thon, got cut by the Cavs. So let's see where he ends up. My guess is Detroit or Milwaukee or Orlando. Places where GMs and front offices have already taken a big long look at him or drafted him. And finally, Josh Greeny Green. Had himself a game against Charlotte today. Played his ass off. Played for 18 minutes. Shot 2 of 4 from the floor. 0 of 2 from downtown. But had 5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers. And played fucking awesome D on LaMelo, which was great. He was a plus 17, Greeny. So probably easily his best NBA game to date. Good on you, Greeny. And it's no coincidence that Greeny played well and the Mavs fucking won. Just saying. Also, Will Magnate, what's he got to do to get out there? Zion didn't play today. Still no love for our big Will the Thrill Magnet. Right. What about Kiwi Corner, though? Oh, I've missed this. Stephen Adams has been, look, tearing it up. We had his first ever career triple-double the other day, which was absolutely unreal. He goes 10 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists against his old team, which was absolutely hilarious this time last week. Tore it up, shot 4 of 5, got his 10, 11, and 10. The old Jason Kidd triple-double, also chucked in a steal. He had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks against Charlotte. And then also had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists today against the Clippers. Unfortunately, the Pelicans can't seem to win a game. They've lost 4 straight. But look, Stephen Adams out there, crushing it by himself, doing all right. Just giving some help, fellas. What do you reckon? All right, let's do the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. All right, easy one today. Jingle and Joe Ingles, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Jingle and Joe Ingles tweeted out, Euro Hoops had this great quote from Milos Teodosic. Hello! The old Dari puncher himself saying, they basically tweeted this out. When I serve an assist, 2 people are happy, me and my teammate. On the next assist, I'll make a different teammate happy. The assist represents the greatest moment in basketball. Joe Ingles retweets this, pointy finger down emoji, pointy finger down emoji, pointy finger down emoji. And that is inspiring as fuck, I'll tell you what. So that's great. Jingles obviously loves teeing up assists, teeing up, teammates and his mates for easy buckets. And that's pretty inspiring. So great stuff, Jingling Joe Ingles. Right, game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How was yesterday's barbecue once you finally did the show?
Well, once we got done with Dante's Danceteria, I was rooted. I managed to run over, drink some beers, laugh at the kids causing havoc, have a nice barbie with the fam. Pretty good. pretty good. So thanks, Inverton Bay. That was very handy. So today of the 7 games, we went 1, 2, 3, I think 3 of 7? 3 of 7. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Because we just missed out, I believe, on Milwaukee. Obviously, that sucked. And Brooklyn, that was a very close one too. Minnesota shitting the bed didn't help. So 3 of 7 today for the year. What does that leave us with our picks? We go 3 and 7. That leaves us at 129 of 221. Slowing down a little bit, but we've not done too badly. So tomorrow's games, however, Now, we do have a couple of postponements, don't forget. So let's keep an eye out on some of these, but let's look at some odds. And there's a couple of really, 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 really nice ones tomorrow, I'll tell you what. So let's do it. Miami at Philly. Philly are 11-point favorites tomorrow, which is pretty crazy considering it's Philly. And Miami probably won't have Butts, Bam, or Goron back. But look, 11 points is just a lot. We just saw them nearly beat them in overtime. It is home team Philly, however. But that kind of just means they'll win. I think I'm going to have Miami to cover. Plus 11. It's just too many points. Give me the Heat. Plus 11. They play hard. Tyler Hero. Kelly Olynyk. The Hoosier. Duncan Robinson. Precious. And co. Even if Butts, Bam, and whatnot aren't back, Miami just play hard and they'll keep it pretty close. Philly might still win though, but give me Miami plus 11. Charlotte at Toronto. Toronto, finally home after a big road trip. 8-point favorites against Charlotte. Charlotte playing on a back-to-back. Toronto, you've got to think that if there's any time they're going to kick the absolute shit out of a team, this is the reeling Toronto Raptors, who are in struggle town. Population them. They're 2-8. 2-8. The Hornets are 6-6. I'm going to take Toronto here, though, because I just got stuck. I think there's got to be a game where they just absolutely fucking bludgeon a team. And this will be the Charlotte Hornets without Gordon and on a back-to-back. Toronto at home finally. Boom. Away we go. San Antonio. What do you reckon? San Antonio. 6-point favorites over the new. Look. Houston Rockets. I'm going to take the Spurs minus 6. DeMar's already out of this. The Spurs probably have enough firepower, though, to still beat Houston, who will be like, who have we got on our team this today? What's happening? Who are you? Dante? Yeah, you can't play. You're fucked. So give me San Antonio. I think we get a big Patty Mills game in this one, too. He's on a tear. Give me San Antonio minus 6. Golden State, Denver. Awesome game. The Nuggets are 5-point favorites at home. Golden State have been really good of late. Unfortunately, I don't think there's anyone who can really stand up to the Nikola Jokic experience there in Denver. Denver at home, 5-point favorites. I might take Denver. And then finally, the Portland Trailblazers hosting the Indiana Pacers, sans Victor Oladipo. Portland obviously on a back-to-back. Indy nice and rested. I might take Indy plus 2.5. Portland have looked really good, but it's just a big fucking expenditure of energy each time they do something. Indy on this big road trip, I think they're going to try to finish it off with a win, or at least it'll be close. Portland might win this by 1 or 2, but plus 2.5, give me the Indiana Pacers. And there's the picks for tomorrow. And we'll be back tomorrow. Love it. So get around playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. We'll no doubt have lots more to yell about the Harden trade and co tomorrow, which will be awesome. But we are back tomorrow. Daily. Love it. It makes it lots easier, I'll tell you what. So anyway, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG, all over the socials. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy a hoodie, buy a t-shirt, buy a stubby holder. Don't be a prick. Help your buddy Jimmy out. Come on. I'll send it to you post-haste. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. Look, it really does help. Please do it. I don't ask this lightly. I don't ask for much, do I? Do I? Go to thedailyliquor.com if you're in Melbourne. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free six-pack of the DOS X if you spend 20 wingworms, which is basically, I think, pretty easy to do. And they'll give you the free sixer. How good is that? Big thanks. Also go to theknowable.fyi. Download Knowable. Enter the code STRAYA. Get 20% off. Awesome. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album, Running Out of Time, is out now. Also, big thanks to Joshua Delarantis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, whatever other outlet you enjoy. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. Right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen!
Oh, Kia ora, Bruce. How's it going, eh? Just your pal Stephen Adams here, Bruce, swinging by for my latest diary entry, eh? So here goes. Oh, dear diary. That's me, Bru. Stephen Adams, eh? Oh, but you knew that already, Bru, because you're my diary, eh? And you know all my deep, dark secrets, bro. Like how after I had that triple-double last week, bro, I shit in a shoe and FedExed it to Little Russ in Washington, bro, with a nude saying, "See, who's getting triple-doubles now, bro? Now I'm allowed to get rebounds, you prick." But shush, don't tell anyone, eh? I think that's a federal offense, bro. Anyway, bro, after my triple-double last week, bro, everyone has been calling me Steve MPP Adams, bro, which is pretty funny, bro, because it's not my name, but it's got my name mixed with MVP, bro, so Steve MVP, bro. Steve MVP Adams, bro. Oh, that's funny as, eh? Steve MVP, bro. That's pretty good. So my best friend Zion has been also having me on a bit. He's got the top bunk in our room, bro, and he does farts all night and yells "incoming" every time he does it, bro, and says that he can see it seeping through his mattress under me, bro. It's absolutely brutal, bro. I mean, come on, bro. Settle down there, Zion. My best friend Brendan as well. I've been trying to feed him hungies, bro, and he's like, "Nah, bro, I can eat and eat and eat, but I don't put any weight, bro." And I'm like, "Let me fix that, bro. Here's a pavlova." And he's like, "Oh, bro, this is delicious, eh?" But anyway, I'll tell you what, bro. I bought a worm farm, bro, to keep me busy during quarantine. I think I'm going a bit mad, bro. The only thing I've ever farmed is sheep, eh? But now I've got worms. That's funny. Nice one. But our worms are sweet, bro. They make good compost for my garden that I'll eventually grow at the back of Mrs. Zion's house. But there's only so much cooking I can do now, too. I'm going a bit mental. That's why I got the worm farm. Because I can't do so much cooking as I would at home because Zion's mum won't let me. She'll be like, "Oh, Stephen, bro, get out of the kitchen." I'll be like, "Oh, come on, Mrs. Zion, bro. Can I have a go?" She's like, "No, bro, fuck off." But anyway, so life here in New Orleans, bro, is sweet as, eh? The food is delicious. I love that gumbo, bro. Those fancy donuts, eclair things, bro. What are they, beignets, bro? I love beignets. They're almost better than my mum's Lemingtons, eh? Well, almost. Not quite. So, yeah, loving it down here, bro. We're playing pretty okay. We keep losing games, bro. But, look, I'll get us back on track with a pretty sweet, like, let's fix us up hungy. And everyone will love it. Even my friend Brendan. So, that's it for me this week, bro. I hope Zion doesn't fart at me in my sleep again. And I'll rot to you next week, eh? Cheer, cheer. Love. Stephen Adams, bro.